from WXXI News. This is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made in 1969 when one of Rochester's oldest festivals held its first edition. According to the city of Rochester, the Puerto Rican Festival is the largest ethnic celebration in Monroe County. In previous years, it's drawn an average of 7,000 visitors each day. From dancing, music, competitions, games, food, the festival has been a staple of culture and Rochester summers for decades. Now, last year's festival was canceled, like most of them, due to the pandemic. But organizers are hoping to have a little bit of a different year in 2021, and they're looking to the future. It is going to look a little different. Instead of a three-day event right across from us here at Frontier Field, this festival, well, maybe you hold it on two separate days at different locations. Maybe you do it in different ways here. Let's talk right now about what this festival might become this year, and frankly about how difficult it's been to try to put together a wonderful cultural event for the community that is still safe and respects the ongoing pandemic. This hour, we're looking at what I guess you call it the 51st Puerto Rican Festival and discuss past, present, and future. The president of the festival is Orlando Ortiz, and we're not going to try to put too much pressure on him to overpromise here. I know it's been a tough year for you. How are you?
Doing well.
Thanks. Are you hanging in there?
I am. We are.
How often are people asking you, when's the festival? What's going on?
Well, every single day ever since the guidelines kind of got eased up. So
yeah,
I'm happy we could put some of those questions aside.
There you go. Thank you for being here. Jessica Del Valle is here, site manager for Rochester International Plaza. Jessica, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Annette Ramos, executive director for the Rochester Latino Theater Company. Welcome back. It's so good to see you in person.
Wonderful to see you too, Evan. Thank you.
You look the same.
Latinas age well. Oh.
Anthony Planzinski, founder of La Cumbre. Welcome back to you as well.
Thanks, Evan.
Okay, so Orlando, let's just kind of just get right to where we are with this. If there's going to be a festival, is it a festival? Is that what you call it? What's the plan for it for now?
Yeah, so we're calling them fiestas en el barrio, so, you know, party in the town, so to speak. We're very excited. Last Friday, we announced our 51st annual Puerto Rican festival, and we're doing it in 2 days. So August 14th will be at the International Plaza, which is a great site, which I'm sure Jessica will talk more about. Mm-hmm. And we're very excited to bring the Puerto Rican Festival right to the avenue. And then on August 21st at Parcel 5, which we know has been renovated this past year, and we're looking forward to having a great celebration both of those days.
When you have tried to kind of figure out what to do with this festival, you've seen other festivals make a wide range of decisions this year. Some canceled entirely, some scaled back. Others have kind of hung in there waiting like clothesline and saying, we're going to try to do it just as we normally have. How difficult has it been? And have you had the guidance that you've needed to make these calls?
I would say early on in the year, it was a little bit more challenging just because the guidelines were very vague. So talking to other event organizers, we're kind of in this holding pattern. And we weren't able to really plan much, and it wasn't until June timeframe where we kind of heard that things were going to be easing up a little bit, where we started really gearing up a little bit more towards the reality of, hey, let's put something together. We did not want to go another year without having another festival. We all know how important this is to our community here, so we wanted to make sure we put something together. So when we started getting an idea of what it was, and, you know, we started reaching out to some of our partners and affiliates to make sure, you know, we had their support as well. Obviously, we don't do this on our own, so we want to make sure that we had their support, which they supported very good. So I'm happy to hear that, you know, a lot of our sponsors are coming back, which allowed us to be able to put on this event and making it free this year, which was is a huge change for us. Can't say that it'll be like that next year, but at least for this year, we wanted to at least provide those events that are free to the community and be able to kind of reestablish those connections that we lost.
And given that you're going to have a chance to go to La Avenida and El Cinco, is that the future, or could you be back at Frontier Field? I mean, is it too early to say what the future looks? Are you mostly focused on 2021, or is this a new model for you?
Yeah, we're mainly focused on 2021.
Sure.
I will say, though, that we do want to have more events at the International Plaza. It's a great venue. If you haven't been there, I encourage you to attend there. They got the market days. And, you know, it's a great site for events, and we look forward to having more and more events there. So it may not necessarily replace what we've done in the past, but it will be an addition to what we've done.
Our colleagues at 13WAM reported that Monroe County Legislature President Dr. Joe Carbone proposed moving the festival to the Highland Bowl and making it a ticketed event. I know there was some confusion about that. Can you clear that up?
Yeah, so we've been working for months with Annette Ramos and the County Parks Department and trying to do a celebration over at the Highland Bowl. They've been doing a lot of development over there and kind of reestablishing that as an event space. And we're honored to be part of the conversation of hosting events there. And while that wording may not have been correct, we do want to host Hispanic Heritage Month type of an event over at the Highland Bowl, whether it be this year or next year.
So that could happen. We'll talk in a second with Annette about that. But the main festival, the 51st edition, a little different this year. 2 days, two Saturdays, Saturday, August 14th and Saturday, August 21st. The 14th at International Plaza, the 21st next month at Parcel 5, free.
That is correct. We do have a couple lead-up events as well. Tomorrow at concerts by the shore at Ontario Beach Park. That's also free, 7 to 8:30. And then Bands on the Bricks, August 6th. And that's also free to the community. So we're having a lot of events here in the next 4 weeks.
There's a Red Wings Baseball Day.
And the Red Wings
Latino Day.
Latino Day, Cocos Locos, on August 8th. So there'll be, you know, how they're doing the Rochester plates, the ASL jerseys, the Pride Day. They're introducing a Latino Day as well. So that'll be the Cocos Locos at Rochester. So we're very excited to be able to bring the baseball game with that Latino flair to it.
Annette Ramos, are you relieved and excited that this festival is coming back, even if it's different?
I am ecstatically excited. Our community is really looking to come together again. The International Plaza has been really the heart of our community and establishing a regular season there. Working with Jessica has been amazing. We're hungry. We're hungry for our music, our culture, our togetherness, because that's how we are as a community overall. So we're going to be dancing in the parks and on the streets and celebrating our culture in Rochester, New York.
Well, and so when we look at Highland Bowl, what could happen there? Again, whatever you call that day of events, et cetera, it may not be exactly the Puerto Rican Festival this year, but there could be something happening there. What's going on?
Well, it's really about Hispanic heritage celebration. September 15th through October 15th is designated nationally to celebrate Hispanic heritage. And by the way, the reason it's in half of 2 months is because there were five Latin American countries that won their independence during that time. So understanding the history of that is important. Jessica and I are working on a theme right now. Just absolutely excited about the work that she's doing to really create placemaking in our own neighborhood and inviting the larger community to come and join us. Highland Bowl is an untapped outdoor venue Monroe County has, right in our own backyard, right in the city. And activating Highland Bowl really means bringing culture and art and diverse offerings to our community. So the minute I started to work on that particular project, I knew that the Puerto Rican Festival needed to be there to ignite and celebrate and activate that venue for us, and especially for Latinos. So it's an important place for us to feel welcomed in every Monroe County park and in every performing arts venue in our city. This is a very important part around equity, inclusion, and transparency.
Every time I'm in around that space, whoever I'm with is like, this is amazing. How come we don't do more here? So I agree. It totally makes sense in that regard. Again, it's September 15th to October 15th. Programming still to come?
Programming still to come, but the rest of the city is ignited and already planning. We're planning events at La Marqueta, the International Plaza, the Memorial Art Gallery's largest Hispanic Day celebration is also being planned, and a few other spatterings around the community. So it's a very important time for us to acknowledge it, but we don't just celebrate Hispanic heritage during that time. We celebrate it all year long.
Well, I want to make sure our listeners know where International Plaza is, Rochester International Plaza, and give us a taste of the flavor of that, Jessica. How's it going there?
It's going great. We started this season, basically. It's our official year, starting the Market Day season at the International Plaza, which is also known as La Marqueta. that's how it was originally presented. And it's a great effort. It's a joint effort between the City of Rochester and the Ibero-American Development Corporation. And every Thursday and Sundays, it's been our market days, where we are trying to combine live entertainment and cultural events with the marketplace experience, giving also new entrepreneurs and established businesses an opportunity to connect with the community at a low risk and a low cost, vending opportunities, economic opportunities. And so it's basically a venue for the neighborhood to celebrate the culture, the arts, and also a place for other resources and groups to connect and, you know, get a flavor of the Latinos in the Rochester area. So it's been wonderful. And like Annette said, we are working on our Hispanic Heritage Month celebration, and we're very excited to have the Puerto Rican Festival doing an event with us as well this year. So it's like everyone is expecting to, you know, have fun this summer, finally come out and celebrate, you know, having that fiesta that we all need.
So on Saturday, August 14th, from 2 to 9 p.m. at La Marqueta at International Plaza, that'll be day one of the Puerto Rican Festival. What do you expect to see? Give me what's in your mind's eye when you think about that?
Well, it is exciting. It's mind-blowing. It's challenging. You know, I'm thinking everyone is going to come out to the plaza, and we're going to be so full. And hopefully everything is going to work out great. We're going to have music. We're going to have people seeing each other after who knows how long, and hugging and dancing and singing. And I have to give it to Orlando and the whole, you know, festival and all their supporters. We are working with the city, with logistics and everything, to make sure everything works out well and everyone ends up happy about coming to the festival.
Is there transportation and space for parking, et cetera?
We are contemplating several parking options. We are also looking to have a shuttle transporting some people from Upper Falls down to the plaza. We have parking on site. We have some lots identified around the plaza as well for regular market days and especially for events like the Puerto Rican Festival.
What have the last, you know, 6, 9, 12 months been like at La Marqueta when it comes to those market days? What's it been like there?
Well, we opened last year for about 4 Sundays during mm-hmm. the fall. That was like a soft opening exercise that we did. It was really nice. We got to have up to 800, I believe, for the opening, you know, in and out visitors. And then this year we opened mid-April. We open actually on April 15th, and we've been there every Thursday and Sunday as long as the weather has allowed it. And it's taken off. I mean, in the beginning, we had some struggling with the weather, like I said, and people still, you know, not feeling so much comfortable coming out. But at this point, I believe we're taking off, and everyone is willing to connect and support. And so if you haven't been there, come Thursday, 828 North Clinton Avenue, or Sunday. We're there Thursdays 5 to 8 p.m. and Sundays 1 to 5.
Anthony Plonzinski, have you been there?
Well, absolutely.
You're a fixture.
At the food venue.
Don't put words in my mouth. Don't you do that.
I'll accept that.
How do you feel about trying to get a festival of some kind back on the calendar? Because, you know, you're somebody, I know, you know, community organizing, you know, policy making. It's been hard this year. Everything from the state level, which was, I think, you know, if you're organizing festivals, a little slow to hear some state guidance, to local levels, not knowing limits on capacity, everything. How do you see how difficult that's been, and what do you make of what the Puerto Rican Festival is doing here?
Yeah, it's been very difficult. I mean, it's definitely hitting a moving target. The target's going to continue to move. And so, you know, to my friends here with me today, it's going to be a challenge, but the community gathering together. The one thing I would say is that with the festival and then the community's connection to the festival, you know, through the Northeast Safety Committee and others, we've been working on ways to engage the community for a while. So I think that we have a head start and that folks have gathered around for different reasons, issues around the festival, parades, things of that nature, in this particular one with the Puerto Rican Festival. And so that gives us, I think, a leg up, either having the international market there. The last time we did programming together, that was just a green space. It was a empty lot and it was a lawn. And so having that established, having policies established around that's going to be very helpful, I think, for all of us in thinking about how to make sure that this is a great effort.
I know you've also been part of some efforts to understand some of the community feedback in recent years. And look, we've been talking for 15 minutes about the Puerto Rican Festival, and we haven't talked about what so much of the media starts with, which is some of the partying and some of the events that happen after the festival, not mm-hmm. always people connected to the festival. But I know you've wanted to understand how different neighborhoods feel, how people in the community feel. What have you learned?
Well, it's clear that people wanted a space on La Avenida. They wanted a space at the Marqueta. And so through adversity, through COVID, I think it's really establishing an opportunity that we really should take advantage of and figuring out how to make Clinton Avenue work, so to speak, and how does that affect whether the festival or future programming. Orlando, I've known for a very long time. You know, him and his team have been, you know, very prepared, as well as when you talk about events of so many events at once, this to me, when I heard it, I was like, oh, this is average. Because if you know the Puerto Rican Festival, you know there's like 15 events before the festival even happens every year. And he's smiling over there because he knows it's true. So the only thing I say bring back is the wine tasting, please. and so have that going. And so, you know, I think through adversity, there is a huge opportunity now that the space has been provided. It's a one-day effort, and so we can actually make something of this while dealing with adversity at the same time.
How do you feel about that, Orlando?
No, I completely agree. I also like the fact that, you know, as Jessica mentioned, there's kind of this moving, you know, this energy towards the plaza that we want to make sure we kind of catapult, you know, to the next level. You know, I often engage with vendors that are in the plaza, and I want them to visualize what the potential of that market is. You know, I want it to not just be a one-day kind of thing. I want them to realize that, hey, if you stay here, as Jessica mentioned, that, you know, your business can grow here, and then you can kind of take it to the next level. So we're very excited to be part of that process and help those folks out.
Annette, you want to add to that?
Yeah, I do. And the other benefit is that we have a place to celebrate and educate mm-hmm. the general public on Latinx arts and culture. The fact that we've had a Brazilian performance group, an ensemble there, we really look at that place, that venue, as our stage right now. Rochester is the second largest city of New York State of Latinos. So we're the second largest right outside of New York City, yet we don't have a performing arts center. We don't have our own museum. So the cultural institutions are really important to us. We have established cultural institutions, the Puerto Rican Festival, Borinquen Dance Theater, and the very young and emerging Rochester Latino Theater Company. But those three institutions really are pushing forward a larger agenda, and that is, let's embrace and celebrate the culture of the people in our own community. And what better place to do it but on La Avenida, in a home that we invite all Rochesterians to come and play and dance with us.
Well, how do you see the future of La Marqueta and that space there, Annette? Because one thing that this city has struggled with, doesn't matter the administration, doesn't matter who's in charge, there's a lot of really good intention, but there's a lot of talk about really investing everywhere in the city, in all neighborhoods, in all places. But sometimes development gets concentrated, whether it's downtown in certain places. What's happening there? What should happen there?
Well, I think Daniel Prude transformed our city and forced us to look at ourselves and the way that we fund and the way that we support the arts in our community. And I think that it's important to know that 2020 was not only the year of COVID, it was the year of really looking at Black Lives Matter and Brown Lives, too, in that regard, because we consider ourselves allies with our African American community. So I think it's important for us to say, let's do it authentically, and why not go to the very institutions in our city that are experts about that culture? And, you know, I'm going to be very radical and say, I don't want any more one-night stands. This idea of a one-off event is no longer acceptable because it doesn't benefit the continuity and really the generational wealth of our community. And I'm speaking specifically to the Brown. To underpay a band to do the same set that you would pay an all-white band is not equitable. And that's where the trickle-down economics needs to be really looked at. I think both the city and the county are taking this quite seriously with the DEI initiatives. The city has also formed an arts commission. Orlando and I are serving on. We have representation of all the diverse groups in Rochester. So oftentimes in our city, arts are funded to the major major art organizations. And then you have a plethora of middle and small. What's essential to grow Rochester to be the fifth city of the arts in our city is to invest in the youth and invest in BIPOC artists and art organizations. That way we emerge out of a really authentic place of diverse art offerings.
In all neighborhoods, in all parts
in
of the city.
In every single neighborhood. Going to those communities, asking them, surveying them, what kind of arts do you want to experience? I would never go to my Muslim community and say, oh, I know what you want. That would be very erroneous of me. I want to ask them. I want to survey them. I want to understand the art and the culture that they celebrate. And this is very important for the Latinx community as well. So I think that having a place, creating placemaking, and then flooding that place with all these amazing art offerings, and then inviting everyone in our community, Pittsford and Victor and Canandaigua, we want you in our city, and we want them to feel welcome. We want them to feel safe. We are creating those spaces for them.
I know. Anthony, you want to jump in? I'll get to Jessica, too. Go ahead, Anthony.
I wanted to touch back to the community organizing aspect of what you talked about, and I think the work that we did through the Northeast Safety Committee and with the festival group and with the city of Rochester and other leaders really springboard us and I think prepared us for COVID. And a lot of folks don't know this, is that when COVID-19 hit at the time, we as a community said we're either going to fall in terms of not being able to communicate with each other. How do we take advantage of this head start that we had? And so I think a lot of the reason why we're also able to move so fast is that when COVID-19 happened, we got together. And there hasn't been a week or a few weeks that has gone by that the Latino leaders in the community have not met. We've had a running Zoom meeting, the Greater Rochester Latino Agenda, that has been meeting with county leaders, city leaders, congressional leaders in this space to talk about the issues and keep them prevalent, because we knew that we were going to have to make fast decisions. But through that benefit, it has springboard us to be able to act quickly and take advantage of such a thing like this, where the festival comes up, the community is already in communication with each other. In fact, I think Orlando was the one who broke the news to me yesterday on our meeting and talking about it. And I was like, oh, yes, let's do it. Today we're talking about it here and have this availability to talk about it with the community. And so I think that that level of community organizing, both authentically grassroots created as well as then developed, has really helped.
But on the developed side, is it easy for political leaders, councils, administrations to talk about neighborhood development, every quadrant of the city development, and that as opposed to just downtown typical pockets of development and harder to implement? Is it just a choice that you have to commit to? Do you see it happening? How do you see it?
I think that, is it hard to think of that? I think yes. I think the job is overwhelming, and most leaders who get elected don't realize that once they get there. And so once we're in those spaces, the community really has to take it upon itself to educate those leaders. Now, is that the ideal situation? No. But we're finding that if we are not the educators, if we're not the researchers, and if we're not the ones implementing those conversations, depending on how that administration or how that leader's coming in and what their priorities are, you may not be on their table or on their palette. And so you have to really put yourself there and figure out if you have an ally coming in or there's somebody you have to educate.
Jessica, are you satisfied in terms of the investment and the effort you've seen from local government at On La Avenida?
We've had the support of the city of Rochester and the government from day one. I mean, it became a reality thanks to them, and they've been there from the beginning of the season as well. So I have to say yes, and I'd like to take the opportunity to thank also the other groups and partners that we've had so far, like the Eastman School of Music, Cornell Cooperative Extension, also Grupo Cultural Latinos en Rochester, Alma de México, the Latino Theater Company, and so many other organizations that have joined us as special guests. I'll also like to invite everyone, reminding them that we have a safe and beautiful site for you to visit and identify with. We have the support of special events, RPD, and we have our own security on site in every market day that we do. It is a family-oriented, agenda that we have going on at the plaza, and we'd like you to feel confident about the place that you're bringing your loved ones. And also, I'd like to invite everyone to look at us on Facebook, the International Plaza Rock. That's how you find us on social media, the International Plaza Rock. And if you like to come as a vendor, special guest, or if you're looking for info to rent the site, which is available as well, you can just get the application packet and all of the info from the City of Rochester website, cityofrochester.gov/International Plaza.
How big is the total site?
I don't have the exact number right now, but I know we've talked about it. We can feed up to, 2,000 people?
2,000 people. So we'll find out for sure on August 14th.
You know. Oh, my God.
Remember, we're still learning and building with this project. So
what happens if 4,000 people show up on August 14th?
Yeah, so we're having discussions with RPD, and, I mean, that's a different problem to have. But it is a free event, obviously, and, you know, we manage that by, you know, the entertainment, you know, that we choose as well, being cautious of who we bring and making sure that we don't, you know, oversell the capacity per se.
Yeah.
Okay. Are you worried about that?
Yes, of course I am. I know we're working on logistics and we're trying to make it, you know, the best we can.
That'll be a good problem to have. Yeah. After we take our only break of the hour, we're going to talk about what it really ought to look like this year. If you have not been to the Puerto Rican Festival in the past, we're going to try to share some of the guest favorites there. As we talk about festival season this year, the Puerto Rican Festival is hosting its 51st event. 51st event, but a little different this year. Instead of right down here across the street from us at WXXI, where you're used to going, they're doing two different days, Saturday, August 14th, Saturday, August 21st. Both days free. August 14th, it'll be at La Marqueta International Plaza on Clinton, and the 21st of August on Parcel 5. They said, we'll talk about children because we've got some questions about kids. Got an email about do you have to be vaccinated, stuff like that. We'll hit all that stuff after we take our only break of the hour, and we'll come back with Orlando Ortiz, Jessica Del Valle, Anthony Planzinski Figueroa, Annette Ramos, all with us talking Puerto Rican Festival and Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Wednesday on The Next Connections, we continue our series of conversations with local teachers about what they've learned during the pandemic and how they think the education system should change in the long term. Then, in our second hour, we talk composting. The City of Rochester has a new pilot program. We'll talk about what it entails, and our guests answer your questions about home composting as well. Talk with you on Wednesday.
This is Veronica Volk from WXXI News, and we've got a new weekly podcast for you. It's called Earshot, and it's got all the most important, best told, sometimes off the beaten path news stories from your favorite WXXI and city reporters. Earshot comes out every Friday. Don't miss it. Subscribe wherever you find your podcasts.
This is Connections. Annette Ramos, when was your first Puerto Rican festival in Rochester?
Wow. Well, I think the first year I moved here about 25 years ago, I was very pregnant at the time. And again, I felt like I had found home. Hearing Spanish, listening to the music, seeing and being welcomed by Orlando and his board. There was always a sense of being welcomed.
Not 25 years ago.
No.
Well,
15
perhaps.
Maybe.
Yes, 15, probably, yeah.
I was like, this is the best-looking young man here in town here.
Well, throughout the years.
What's one of the sights or sounds that is vivid in your mind? One of those first ones.
I'm going to say Frontier Field. I do remember you being across at another
location. Civic Center Plaza.
That was a little intimidating for me, I must say. So when you moved to Frontier Field, it felt familiar and unknown, and it felt quite comfortable in that space. Having been to Frontier Field, being in, you know, centrally located location downtown, that's the part of the success is being accessible to our community, and that's very important. To have any kind of a festival, cultural festival, you have to have access mm-hmm. to the community that you want to serve.
And you found him, were you dancing?
Oh, always.
You got moves.
I definitely have moves. And the music, really, it speaks to the spirit of my people. When I hear a bolero or salsa or a merengue or any of the pieces of the dances of my culture, it speaks to my family roots. It speaks to my abuela's kitchen, listening to the radio on a Saturday morning, blaring music, cooking in our kitchen. It is really, truly a cultural connection for me.
Jessica, what's your first memory of the Puerto Rican Festival?
I have to be honest with you. Oh. I don't think I've been to the Puerto Rican Festival because I'm not from here. I got to Rochester first visiting relatives. Then I became an international student in two occasions. And I was actually a student leader and a community leader. And, of course, I heard of the festival and I heard of Orlando many years ago when they were working. And when he started to work with the festival somehow. But, of course, everybody I know has been to the festival. And everyone I know has enjoyed and looked forward to it.
Yeah, what are you looking forward to most? Because I know you're working. I understand that. There's got to be something.
Well, I'm just looking forward to see everyone come to the plaza and see these two identities, like Annette mentioned, you know, the Puerto Rican Festival at the International Plaza with everyone, no matter where you're from, celebrating culture, diversity, the music, you know, that festive environment that we're all looking for and that we Latinos enjoy so much. Mm-hmm. And then I know, you know, many other cultures appreciate as well. So that's basically what I'm looking for. Just to see everyone enjoying themselves, celebrating together at the International Plaza.
All right, Anthony, dámelo. What's your favorite? what's your memory here?
So my first interaction with the festivals was freshman year in college. Even though I grew up here all my life, Planzinski Figueroa may give it away, but I am Polish and Puerto Rican. Puerto Rican, if you have not been introduced correctly. I grew up around the Joseph Clinton Avenue area. But really, you know, the festival and other cultural organizations and stuff really were the big reasons how I connected to the Puerto Rican side of my culture. I grew up in a very Polish, you know, Polish community culture. And so the festival to me has always represented that kind of cultural identity and becoming for me. And so that was very important. And so, I mean, I know I joked earlier about the food, but I go there for the food. I mean, the food and the experience, and it's a reunion when you go to the festival. That's the biggest thing, I think, is that even if you haven't seen someone because you're so busy all year long, you see folks you have not seen in a while, whether they've come into the community for the first time in a while or not. It is a big family reunion. There's hugs, there's chatter, there's dancing, and it's just a great experience.
Are you pretty confident that it'll feel that way even in the midst of this pandemic?
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, I feel like every greeting that I have now after COVID is a homecoming. So I can only imagine what this is going to be.
Yeah, I sort of feel the same way. I knew Annette Ramos was going to give me a big hug. I would have bet everything that I own. And, you know, Annette's so kind. She always wants to make sure, can I give you a hug? Because, you know, in pandemic and sort of going forward, we're all going to have to figure out what feels comfortable. But I do suspect there's a lot of love flowing at an event like that, and I'm sure Orlando Ortiz there will be as well this year. What comes to mind for you first? Because this is work for you. I understand it's work, but what is the happy memory or moment that stands out in your mind first when you think of the festival?
I've been part of the festival for 16 years now, and I would say you mentioned work, and we're all volunteer, right? Everybody here does the work because we really are passionate about, you know, what we do is, and I'm going to be in Frontier this year. One of the ways that I kind of like pay myself back is to Sunday night when it's kind of like our busiest night. I usually go to the suites up top where the overlook is, and I overlook the plaza, you know, at the peak of the festival and just look at the sea of people there enjoying themselves, enjoying the music, and, you know, I look at that, and that's kind of my payback. And, you know, there's a few years, you know, I do get emotional when I'm standing up there just because of, you know, kind of what that represents, right? People there gathering, like Anthony mentioned. Mm-hmm. It's a family reunion, and I don't think that'll be any different this year. It might be on a smaller scale because it's obviously a different venue, different limits. But I think it's going to be just like that. I think it'll be a nice family reunion, and hopefully we get to see a lot of the same people. I know a lot of us have lost, you know, people along the way, but we hope that, you know, people still come out and have a good time.
What are you looking forward to most on the food side? You're all going to get asked this question. Let's talk a little bit about food for a second.
Well, real quick, I could say something that I'm going to miss this year, and that's Anthony being in the dunk tank. I thought that was what he was going to say. That was what his favorite.
You can't bring that back?
I was going to make that joke. We could still do that.
You know. We have time to figure that out.
Kids enjoy seeing Anthony get dunked on. But yeah, food-wise, I got to go with my pernil, so I got to go with the pork, and so that's what I'm looking forward to.
Do you cook at home?
On occasions.
Everybody's got a different level of culinary skills. Some people are showing up because they can't wait to see whatever the people are doing. Other people are cooking. Do you cook at home?
I am a sous chef. There is no other way. And if you ever met my wife, Crystal, you would understand why. I get out of the way and I just do what she says.
What are you looking forward to most on the food side of the festival?
Rice and beans, the pernil, that's it. The empanadas. There's a lot. There is a lot there. I mean, but it's, yeah.
Is there going to be chicharrón?
There's always chicharrón. So.
And of course, bacalao frito, which is fried codfish, which is the bomb. I love that. Bacalao frito, yeah. And it's fried codfish, basically in a dough. I would equate it to a scallion pancake, except it has codfish in it. And everybody makes it different. I for the 3 days I'm there, I eat at three different vendors. A, I like to share the wealth, and B, sure. I'm gonna compare and contrast the rice and beans, because really fundamentally it's rice and beans. If you can't do that well, you're doomed.
Yeah. That's tough. You cook at home?
I used to when I had a daughter living at home, but now I like ordering in.
That's the way of the pandemic and the world going forward. Yeah. Jessica, what about you? What food maybe perhaps are you looking forward to, or what stands out?
Again, empanadas, rice and beans. You know, I would love to see what's the diversity that we can get, you know, the variety that we can get. I know now here we have Peruvians doing, you know, selling some food. And so we see Venezuelans, Dominicans, you know.
Yeah, someone just mentioned to me yesterday they wanted to have, like, the authentic Cuban coffee, which is made with condensed milk. And there's a process, and I'm not going to give it away. You're going to have to ask a Puerto Rican friend or a Latin friend to tell you. But really, and we were just commiserating that would be, like, an awesome, like, a coffee, you know, contest of some kind, like the best-rated Cuban coffee in Rochester or something would be fun.
There you go. More
he
to
clearly
add.
Was a Cuban.
And for the Holland family and the Holland sisters, we'll be looking for arroz con habichuelas.
Right.
So,
yeah.
I hope listeners maybe have their own favorites as they think about Puerto Rican festival, Puerto Rican culture, music too. Two different festival sites this year. Saturday, August 14th at La Marqueta, the International Plaza on North Clinton. That's Saturday, August 14th from 2 to 9. 2 to 10 on Saturday, August 21st. And that's at Parcel 5. What will that space be like? Will it be similar in terms of theme, Orlando, in terms of what's going to be there, food, music, just one day at La Marqueta, one at Parcel 5, or there'll be marked differences?
Yeah, there'll be very similar setups. Obviously, Parcel 5 is a lot bigger than the International Plaza. So we can probably have more vendors, more food vendors. The entertainment might be a little bit bigger just because of the size. But we're very excited, especially now that they redeveloped that area and now it's a green space.
They
per
put
se,
some grass down.
Put some grass, and now it's not just gravel. And
and they had enough water this year. That grass should be nice and green.
That is
a month
correct.
From now. In fact, we got all the rain out of the way in July, so August is going to be dry.
Yes,
that's exactly what's going to happen. Were you surprised, by the way, how long it took to kind of figure out what to do with Parcel 5? Because here we are.
Well, I mean, technically, we still will – that bridge will have to be crossed
again.
Yeah,
this is not a permanent –
Yeah, we're in a pause. But am I shocked? You know, maybe not, depending – I mean, policy is slow moving, depending on who the leadership is, what their priorities are. I was shocked that the green space went down so fast, but I'm glad that we're going to utilize it. I mean, hey, if it's there, let's do it. I think I went to a number of events there. The Fringe Festival events were very popular there. And so I think it's a very useful space. And I think it's a good place to feature the festival, too, downtown in a prime location. So, again, you know, I've been harping on this, but two tremendous opportunities downtown and on Clinton now to really highlight the Puerto Rican culture.
But you're right, though. Once they decided to make it green, they got that sod down, and it was like,
yeah,
it was like days. It was there. And Annette Ramos, when we talk about featuring the arts and development that is thinking about community, not just high-end luxury apartments, which I think this city probably has enough. I haven't done my own analysis, but doing just fine in that regard. Is this what you wanted to see at Parcel 5?
Absolutely. Parcel 5 really is a great venue location. Placemaking across the country is the trend in the arts these days. That means taking uncommon spaces or spaces not normally occupied or filled with art. And I use art in a very general term, performing arts, educational arts, and visual arts, of course, dance, music, theater. So all of those pieces. And we have a shortage of venue locations, A, for small and mid-sized art organizations. So Parcel 5 really is a perfect outdoor venue for downtown Rochester. It's a great venue to be able to fill with small and mid-sized art organizations, as well as, you know, collaborative opportunities for art organizations. We have to invest in the arts and the creative economy to grow the next generation of successful entrepreneurs in the arts field. That is essential to any growth in any city around the arts. And we are, you know, we're a small size, mid-sized city, but we have a vibrant creative economy. It just now needs to have more diversity, equity, and inclusion in it.
Yeah, sometimes places to be. So whether it's Parcel 5, where in the past, before it was green space, we saw, you know, on the back ends of festivals, outdoor concerts, we've seen all kinds of creative use by artists, sanctioned and unsanctioned, using that space really beautifully. When you think about Highland Bowl, what can you accomplish at spaces like that from an artistic perspective?
First of all, we can grow the next generation of small and mid-sized art organizations. The purpose of some of these outdoor venues is to keep the cost low enough and affordable enough to generate small and mid-sized, to curate small and mid-sized art organizations. The biggest expense we have as a small and mid-sized art org is rehearsal space and then a performance space. Those are basic essentials. You can't produce theater and not put it on a stage or in some venue where the general public will engage and watch it. So that's always been a challenge within Rochester. Overall, there just simply isn't enough rehearsal space or even small performance spaces. Muck Theater has been a great example of the success of Muck Theater. Has to do with the turnkey formula that they have. You rent it from a Sunday to Sunday. You have it all on your own. Everything's in the building. It is up to par. It has got great quality of theater pieces, lighting, stage, sound, all of those things. These are the things we have to be able to provide our emerging artists and art organizations. Curation is intentional curation is very important, and providing those services is critical to their success.
So Orlando, are we going to see some music, some art at the festival, whether it's down in La Marqueta or at Parcel 5?
Yes, we're looking to book our headliners now. We got a lot of local bands, dance groups, things of that nature, similar to what we see at the Puerto Rican Festival. You know, it's just for us, we have to, you know, kind of change our mindset. We're very used to Frontier Field and kind of setting that for a three-day festival, and we just want to make sure we adjust that accordingly. One of the things that, you know, as I mentioned, with kind of having those event spaces ready for organizations like ours is, you know, an example would be the International Plaza. They have a stage, they have sound, you know, hookups, they have power, they have bathrooms, they have, you know, the vendors that have containers. So it's kind of, it's an event space versus, like, for example, at the Puerto Rican Festival at Frontier Field, we have to set up the site.
Yeah.
Parcel 5, we have to set up the site. So an advantage, you know, moving forward, I hope that there's more sites that are conducive to events like us, so that, you know, we're not paying for stage, sound, bathrooms, and all this stuff for every single time somebody wants to put on an event.
So it sounds like La Marqueta is going to be part of the rotation in the future.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
It may not be the weekend of the festival,
but
we definitely want
to
do something.
Yeah, related events, yeah.
Oh, we definitely want to do events at the plaza.
Okay, we mentioned the weekend's coming up here. There's Latino Night Concert by the Shore. What is that, tomorrow?
That is tomorrow.
Tomorrow night, down in Ontario Beach Park, starting at 7 p.m. Bands on the Bricks at the Public Market on August 6th, starting at 6 p.m. And Cocos Locos, Latino Day at Red Wings Baseball on August 8th, a 1 o'clock start at Frontier Field. So you got a lot building up there. But some listeners had asked about, Andy had asked about kids and vaccine requirements. So kids welcome at the festival August 14th and August 21st at International Plaza and Parcel 5.
Yes, so everybody's welcome, all ages. We just ask that anyone 17 and younger be accompanied by an adult.
Okay. Any vaccine requirements?
As of today, there are no vaccine requirements per New York State guidelines. We do require that if somebody is unvaccinated, that they wear their face coverings throughout their stay there.
Okay. And like most places, I suspect that's up to them on the honor system.
That is correct.
Yeah. I mean, you're not checking for vaccine cards. Let me just ask briefly, I mean, Anthony, how do you think vaccination efforts have gone in this community in terms of how equitable and how accessible?
I think early on there was a challenge, and we outlined that challenge and spoke about it in terms of getting vaccine sites, especially in predominantly black and brown areas, and making sure that it was there. I think some strides had, you know, we've been making some strides in those areas to get more folks vaccinated. We also have a challenge from our own communities as well in terms of accepting the vaccination, whether they want to choose to get vaccinated or not.
Sure.
And so that has been challenging. And so I think it's been persistently getting better, but obviously can be improved in terms of where locations are, how well you work or do not work with the community in terms of choosing those locations. And so I think the more the community groups have been involved, such as the Iberos and the like, the more we've been able to get to communities of color, especially Latino communities, to make sure that vaccinations are happening in those areas and making sure that the opportunity is there. Now, whether or not is another hurdle that we're looking to face.
Sure, and we've tried to stress, we did it last hour on this program, no shame, understanding that everyone has different reasons for making choices, trying to meet people where they are and just listen. Mm-hmm. When people are saying no right now, is there a common thread that you hear, or is it a wide range of reasons, Anthony?
Well, I think you could find a couple of common threads, mm-hmm. but, you know, there's religious reasons, there's comfort level of whether they feel the vaccine is authentic enough in terms of its, you know, the ability for people to be vaccinated and then be okay. Some folks who have already battled through and had COVID as well, you know, may feel like they don't need the vaccine. And so you have challenges with some individuals in the community believing that as well. And so there's a number of different areas. And also communication on the vaccine, whether they heard about the vaccine from a family member or they heard it from a health professional. And so we find that the differences in messenger are also important too.
How do you think it's going, Annette?
I think within the last 2 months, significant improvement. Language access was a critical component. Mm-hmm. And we feel within the advocacy of the Latino Roundtable, we have really advocated for that and have gotten positive results out of that. I think also really relying on the expertise of community organizations. They're the known entities. There is a lack of distrust around government initiatives, anything around the medical profession. If you know anything about the birth control pill in Puerto Rico, you will understand why our people are anxious and distrustful. So our history tells us that we weren't treated equally, but as basically as guinea pigs. But I will say that allowing and empowering the community organizations has really, really had a significant improvement. Now, getting the right key people to speak to the community is essential.
Go ahead, Anthony. You wanna? Are you waving at somebody? I thought you were waving at me. There's somebody who's walking by.
You have great people working here, Evan.
I know we do, and everybody's so happy. Everybody's so happy to see people in person. Hey, 90 seconds. Let me squeeze two more questions in. Rob in Rochester is asking, is El Pilon going to be involved this year? Awesome food. I don't know the answer to that. Do we know?
We don't know yet, but we're hopefully. Suri's a great partner of ours, and if we can get her to be there. We will get her.
Espero que sí. Vámonos. El Pilon. And Kit is asking, what is Parcel 5? Sometimes I forget. Yeah. We've been talking about Parcel 5 for so long, sometimes I forget. Annette, downtown...
Basically, it is a green space downtown that was originally the idea of a performing arts center. Those deals did not go through, thankfully. And really, the city, that lot's still for sale, Anthony, correct? Yeah, it's still for sale, still available for development. I think it was a brilliant idea to activate it and make it a green space.
A quick way to locate is right across Liberty Pole.
Thank you.
Yep, right across. and it's just over an acre in size. So just over, just over a football field and a half. It's a wonderful space. It's beautiful, and it's really neat to see a festival like this one have a chance to go and have a good time there and welcome people there, because it has the opportunity to be a real magnet for the community if that's what people want it to be. As I let you go, Orlando, where do you want people to keep checking for more details on the festival as you get more planned here?
Yeah, so on our website, prfestival.com, on our Facebook, Puerto Rican Festival, all the information will be there.
prfestival.com.
Correct.
On Facebook, the Rochester Puerto Rican Festival. They'll celebrate their 51st at two different places. International Plaza, that's La Marqueta, on Saturday, August 14th. Parcel 5, downtown Rochester, Saturday, August 21st, with a number of other related events. Have fun. Thank you.
Hope to see you there.
Well, we didn't overpromise, but I'll tell you what. I know you guys are trying to overdeliver in a hard year. Thanks for being here. Anthony Planzinski Figueroa, founder of La Cumbre. Great having you.
Thank you.
Jessica Del Valle, site manager for La Marqueta. Continued success over there. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
And Annette Ramos, executive director of Rochester Latino Theater Company, involved in so many other community initiatives. Thank you for being here.
Muchas gracias.
Keep telling us about what's coming up in Highland Bowl this summer and fall, too.
Will do.
From Rob, MRA, Megan, Evan, saying thanks. Talk to you tomorrow.